Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. I'm going to talk right now with Bill Gertz, who is senior editor at the Washington Free Beacon and writes the Inside the Ring column at the Washington Times. Now, Bill, you've got a piece for Inside the Ring that says Donald Trump may be reforming the intelligence community. Now, obviously, Sean Spicer came out and said, no, we're not even thinking about that. Well, he's the PR guy, and so we know he was deflecting, and they absolutely are thinking about doing this. What are they thinking about, and do they have any good ideas, or are there any really good ideas to kind of rein in this giant 17-agency bureaucracy?
Yeah, what I'm hearing is that, first of all, Trump has clashed with intelligence and has basically, he's a businessman, so he's going to approach the intelligence community and reform from a business perspective, namely a cost-benefit analysis, which I think is urgently needed. Are we getting our money's worth? And clearly, the intelligence community has become over-bureaucratized, way too many analysts and lawyers, and it's I kind of liken it to the tail wagging the dog. In other words, if you don't listen to the intelligence piece, somehow you're not following the proper procedures in government. But I think he's rightly skeptical and vocal in going after the intelligence community on the disclosure of this false dossier that was done by a former British intelligence officer. So he's approaching it. He's appointed two good people to be in charge of intelligence. One is Dan Coats, who's going to be the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence. The other is Mike Pompeo, who's going to run the CIA. I'm hearing that Trump is considering shifting from the DNI structure back to what we had before the DNI, which was a dual-hatted director of central intelligence. Now, in this case, they may make Coates the DCI and leave Pompeo to run CIA, which is supposed to be more oriented towards just human intelligence gathering, which should be its primary mission. Over the course of the last 8 years, the CIA has shifted its function, getting away from the traditional role of intelligence gathering and clandestine operations into drone strikes, which are not easy, but it's easier than doing espionage, which is very difficult. So I'm optimistic that there will be some reforms made, and I think it's urgently needed. This is certainly something that I've been advocating for a long time.
So bringing in retired Indiana Senator Dan Coats, who I believe has retired already twice, was in many folks' minds a signal that ODNI, the Director of National Intelligence position, might be prepped for packing. Now, if we go back to what you mentioned was the Director of Central Intelligence role, the DNI grew from what was supposed to be a small office coordinating intelligence between the agencies into an agency of its own at this point and a giant chunk of bureaucracy. So the plan would be to get rid of that and get back to a smaller role where that person's job is simply to coordinate between the agencies, not to become an agency unto themselves, right?
Right. And what happened with the DNI is that it created a new layer of bureaucracy above an already heavily bureaucratized intelligence community, which is made up of 16 or 17 agencies, the most dominant of which are the CIA and the National Security Agency, DIA and the FBI to a lesser extent, which still has the kind of law enforcement culture, although it's been attempted to reorient it towards counterterrorism, intelligence gathering, and operations.
Okay, well, let's then, if we manage to make that happen, and you know, if Pompeo gets a free rein to actually start spying on people again, which would be nice. I'm a fan of drone strikes. I think it's a great thing. I love it every time a terrorist is returned to his component molecules. But the problem has been through the Obama administration that A, we weren't spying on people, and B, we weren't capturing terrorists to interrogate them and go ahead and learn what we can from them. So is there a, you know, aside from the bureaucratic shift and the organizational changes, do you think we're going to get a policy shift back towards the actual tools of intelligence?
I'm hopeful, yeah. As I outlined in my new book, War and Peace in the Information Age, the strategy by the Obama administration against terrorism has been basically a failure. It's focused solely on the external and killing terrorist leaders, and that basically ended. We killed a generation of al-Qaeda leaders and produced the Islamic State with a new generation of even more extreme terrorists. The ultimate solution is an information warfare solution to go after the ideology of terrorists. Until we do that, there will be no success. There will be no defeat. There will be no victory, and there will be no peace.
I was talking with Bill Gertz, senior editor at the Washington Free Beacon. Now, Bill, you also wrote, talking about the Soviets and now the Russians, about how we waged an ideological war against them. We also had a pretty big information warfare and every other type of conflict with the Soviets. And now it seems, again, we're engaged in one with the Russians, or at least they're engaged with one against us. But that's not new. I think that seems to be news to some people that it's happening. And it seems to have gotten a lot of coverage when the media decided that was why Trump got elected, as opposed to any number of other reasons. But the Russians have been hacking and influencing and playing the propaganda game with us for as long as they've been around. Is this an increase, or is it just more of the same?
Well, what's different is we now live in an information age. 10, 15, 20 years ago, we did not have the same reliance on the kind of instant communications. I mean, all you need to do today is look at any street corner and see people with their nose to the screens of their handhelds. We are just information dominates our lives. So therefore, the Russian hacking the election, and again, it's not the voting machines we're talking about, it's an 18-month election campaign, is a new stage in this information warfare battle. The Russians not only hacked certain people, both sides of the political spectrum, which is often overlooked, but then they were able to release this information and use it or attempt to use it for public gain. We don't have a clear understanding of what the impact was. And obviously, the Democrats' politics during the election were probably more effective than anything the Russians may have done. But it was meddling with our system. And in that sense, it should not go unpunished. What needs to be done is we need a counter information warfare capability, which we don't have. We no longer have that. I interviewed for my book, IWAR, a guy, Brad Johnson, a former CIA official. I said, well, if you were going to do information operations at CIA today, what would you do? And he said, we no longer have an effective directorate of operations or clandestine service that could do that kind of information warfare. So we urgently need to develop that capability to counteract the Russians, counteract the Chinese, the North Koreans, the Iranians, and of course, Islamic terrorism, global jihad.
So that seems to be one piece of it would be, you know, the same things they're doing to us, we need to be doing to them. And sadly, we have not been doing enough of that against any of our enemies. But the other piece would be a public information campaign. And we've mostly shuttered the Voice of America type operations. All the things that we used to do. Is that another place where Donald Trump,
yeah,
seems to love to communicate,
oh, yeah,
should crank it back up?
Yeah, I'm calling for the reestablishment of an information age agency, which I call Information America. We had the U.S. Information Agency. It went out of business in 99 through an unfortunate turn of events between the State Department and Congress. They got rid of it. And so we're basically left with the functions of that semi-independent agency were folded into the State Department, which I describe as diplomacy impaired. In other words, they do not want to do the kind of operations that need to be done because they want to maintain good foreign relations. So we definitely need this new type of organization, something that can both counteract lies and disinformation using truth and facts as weapons, social media as weapons, information as weapons, as well as promoting the American ideals of freedom and liberty and democracy.
Thank you, Bill Gertz, senior editor of the Washington Free Beacon. Also, make sure to check out Bill's book, IWAR, War and Peace in the Information Age. This is Jim Hansen, and up after the break, we'll be talking to Michael Cutler about immigration. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio.
to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.